share was with, along the lines of what Pastor Terry had shared this morning. And what it was that we need each other. We need the church, regardless of what we think. You know, because I think back in our minds, we don't think we do. And the thing that gripped me is how God came this morning. And, you know, it's not that he can't come to you somewhere else, but he has chosen that make it happen in his church. And his church, like we heard this morning, it's not the Pentecostal church, it's not the Catholic church, it's not Free Methodist. It's the church of Jesus Christ, the church of God, the people of God. That's what the church is. And, you know, we've got to be careful that we don't separate ourselves, because that's where the enemy wants to attack us, I believe, to keep us from going to church. And because you might get something here that you might never get anywhere else. Not just in here, but in being with the body of believers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So that's why I wanted to share that, because I wanted to encourage the pastor that, you know, there's only one spirit, right? And he speaks to us, and it encourages us when something like that happens, when God gives something to somebody that will, how do you say, seal something that you're doing or saying, kind of thing. Well, I want to share my testimony. And in light of what the last testimony we had here, we had to bear through Terry Pike's testimony. Just kidding, brother. It thrilled me to hear his testimony. And he mentioned something, if you're waiting for a wild testimony of crazy life in jail and in drugs and all that, well, he says, you're going to be disappointed. Because he says, I was never there. But I'll tell you, every testimony is a good testimony. Why? Because Jesus Christ comes in your life. That's all that matters. It's all on the same level. There's no difference whatsoever. Matter of fact, when I first got saved, when I was writing this out, I had thoughts of, you know, thinking that mine wasn't good enough. Although I got gloriously saved and I was on fire. I was on high. Jesus, right? But I run into these people that had seemed like better testimonies. Well, then the Lord spoke to my heart. No, it's all good. It's all good. Amen? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to share that too, because of the fact that sometimes we think, a matter of fact, you know, I think after I was saved for a while, I thought it would have been really good to be born into a Christian family. You know, to be born saved. But, you know, because it wasn't until I was 30 years old that I asked Jesus Christ in my heart. And, you know, I wish I had done it sooner. I remember having that feeling, I wish I had done it way before. Because I had a drawing on my life, my whole life. There wasn't a time that I don't remember ever not believing in God. And I know that's strange, because I did not live for God. Some points I wrote down here was I was brought up in the Jehovah's Witness faith, and so I had certain teachings in me, and I'm grateful for what they did give me along the lines of believing in God and stuff like that. They got it wrong, folks. I make no bones about it. I won't attack anybody for their religious beliefs, but they got it wrong. They put Jesus down here.
And Lord,
my Jesus is up here. Amen. So I wanted to share that with you, because that's the greatness of God. That's the part of my testimony. It's an important part of this testimony further on. And I'll share that with you. One thing I wrote down here, I was reminded, you know, if you do this, just sit down and write your testimony about your, you know, especially if you've been on the road for a while. It does something for you. I was reminded when I was about 15 years old, I lived with these people. He was a retired policeman, and I stayed there for about a year. And I came down stairs one morning, and Fern was her name. And Fern looked at me, and she, with this dumbfounded look, I sat down to the breakfast table, and I said to her, "What?" You know, because I knew, she goes, "I had a vision." You had a vision. I never heard of this kind of thing before, right? And she says, I said, "What?" She said, "I had a," she, well, no, she, first she said, after that, she said, "You're going to be a minister." I go, "Oh, yeah?" That was so far away from me. And she said, "I had a vision that you came down the stairs and you were all dressed in a, with a collar on, and you looked like a minister." And you know what? I never give that a second thought up until the day I got saved. Isn't that amazing? You know how. But these are just points I wanted to bring out, because if you search yourself, you might see stuff in your own life that way too. But I got into the drug world at a young age. I was probably, by the time I was 16, I was doing drugs. And I just progressed into doing heavier and heavier drugs until I met my wife, my dear wife, and I had some friends that I knew I had to stay away from, and I had to stay away from the drug world. And mind you, I didn't stay away from the drug world. I stayed away from a lot of the heavy stuff, but one of the things that held on to me was I smoked marijuana almost every day until I was the age of 30. I don't make any apologies for it. I don't regret my past, because it's what brought me to Christ, I believe, you know, this kind of thing. But once I remember, there's certain things I can share so much, you know, I gotta pull back on the reins. I was already warned by Pastor Terry, you know. He said, "You only got an hour and a half." But you know, so many things came to me. One of the things that came to me was I was at a person's house one night. This is before I met Melinda. And I did a drug they used to call angel dust. And it was pretty wild. And I knew that I had done too much. And if anybody was ever involved with drugs, they might relate with it, because I was at the same times just as calm as could be. And I knew that I was going. I knew that I had done too much. I was going to OD. And I remember looking across the room in this guy's house, and there was like a little, almost looked like a little statue on the floor. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger until it was a life-size person. And folks, it looked just like Jesus in the pictures. He had long hair, a robe. And I remember him just staring at me. No smile, no nothing. Just staring at me. And I was right straight. And if you've ever done drugs in your house, in your life, that's an impossibility, folks. From where I went, you know, to that place where I was just dead straight. The wildest thing is two things. Being brought up, that's why I wanted to say the Jehovah's Witness thing was an important part of my testimony, because I was taught that Jesus was not who I found him out to be. Mm-hmm. He's not only the Son of God, but he came as God in the flesh.
He is God, man.
And it's through him that we're saved. Mm-hmm. And don't let anybody tell you any else. It's through Jesus Christ. So for me to see Jesus was something. So I knew that it was real, that it was God. It was Jesus, you know. It wasn't some religious belief saying, "Oh, it had to be in the name of Jehovah," or something like that. It's just God came to me and he kept me. Mm-hmm. He took me out of that thing. Mm-hmm. And the wildest thing is, the next week I was back doing it again. Doing more drugs, you know, and I kept doing them right until I was 30 years old, until I asked Christ in my life. He kept me through so much stuff like that. He did. He kept me through times, you know, and I don't understand it. How come some people have a little thing like my brother-in-law, he went off into the ditch and he bumped his head up on the top of the car and it killed him, broke his neck. And he had just got married and had a little girl. And I think, God, how could he keep someone like me? And then just go like that. Somebody else, right? Praise God. I should have brought some Kleenex up. I got to keep it together here. Anyways, I want to start into my testimony. And it begins with, I know a lot of you that are here have heard my testimony. I won't try to. And hopefully I'll get something out of it anyways and be encouraged. But I had a friend of mine named Donnie. He showed up to my house one night and he,
here comes somebody to the rescue. You won't bend over too far, but they'll break your lap.
And Donnie came to my back door of my house, and this is one of the guys, probably above all, that I stayed away from for a few years after, you know, I hadn't seen him for a few years because I knew that I couldn't hang around him. Every time I went out with him, I got in trouble. Right? Ended up getting, you know, with the police or a fight or something. So, but he told me that he had asked Jesus Christ in his heart. And I thought he had lost it. I thought he'd done too many drugs. Because I had another friend of mine that did. He went full-blown schizophrenic from doing drugs, right? So I had those thoughts. Excuse me. But the more he talked, the more he shared, I knew it was God. I didn't know it at the time, but I could see he was sincere. And he stayed, I don't know, for a day or night or something. I didn't even know either. He was preaching to my brother John. My brother John, we called him Serious John. He was angry all the time. He used to like to fight. And he was ready to punch this guy out. Right? Because he was telling them about Jesus. But I've been a little more laid back. And you know, I was, after about 3 days of running this through my head, and I often say this because I got to say it, I like to think it was, I know it was 2 or 3 days, but I like to think it was 3 days because we know what happened on the third day, right? Especially in Easter's coming.